serves as a capital, but I don't think
I bet there is.
There is.
Mics are live.
Well, good morning. I call this regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Service Commission to order. It is 10:02 on January 23rd, 2019. Also present are Commissioners Julie Fedorchek and Commissioner Randy Christman, so we do have a quorum. I don't have any opening comments myself. Commissioner Fedorchek.
I thought I would just take a minute to talk about one thing that is included in our budget request that we haven't talked about in great detail, but yesterday was Railroad Technology Day, and I was a participant in that, and it was really interesting to see all the new technology that the railroad is using to help improve the monitoring of its system and improve the safety of the system. Drones, they had some, what are those? Steve, you're a techie. The goggles.
Oh, the VR.
Yeah, virtual reality goggles and different types of sensors that they're deploying across the system to try to detect anomalies, detect problems before they become an issue. And I think that, you know, the railroads ought to be applauded for their aggressive use of these new technologies to try to improve the safety and the efficiency of the system. And I think that's only going to get better over time. Another thing that has been employed by the state of North Dakota, and I think it is a real success story for the legislature, is the North Dakota's Rail Safety Program. We've had the four-year pilot program has now been completed or will be completed at the end of this biennium. And it's time now during the session to report the results of this program to the legislature, which we are doing through our budgeting process. But I also have been taking opportunities to share those successes with the public as well, because I think the public is ultimately who benefits from the program. And so while the program has been in operation for 4 years, we have two inspectors, one for track and one for mechanical issues. They have completed almost 900 inspection days between the two of them, so about 450 inspection days each out on the job. And in the process have found about a little bit over 6,000 defects on the railroad. And those are defects are issues that, if left unaddressed, become more severe problems and could ultimately lead to a problem that could cause a derailment or that type of thing. And then those are issues that they don't get fined with right away. They are just items that the inspectors identify and point out to the railroad, and the railroad is expected to fix them. They've also issued 92 violations. Violations are more serious problems that are detected by the inspectors and identified, and those issues can require the railroad to put the cars or the track portion out of service for a time until the repairs are made. Sometimes it just requires that the track run at lower speeds. And sometimes they carry fines. Often they carry fines. So the violations are when defects are not addressed in a timely manner, they can lead to violations. And so our inspectors have been out there for the last four years, really 3 years on their own by the time they became certified by the FRA, working to improve the safety of the system. If you look at the need for the program, there's a couple issues at stake here. First of all, the federal resources are limited through the FRA, and those FRA inspectors, there's five of them that cover North Dakota and South Dakota and Montana, and they cover all six disciplines in the FRA. Ours cover two disciplines and are entirely dedicated to North Dakota. We have 3,500 miles of track in the state, and so with just a handful of inspectors, that's a lot of ground to cover to oversee the track and the mechanical side of issues. The other big issue is the economic impact the railroads have in our state. They are vital to our two leading industries, both energy and the agriculture sector, depend on the railroad for supplies, for carrying out, for transporting their final product in many cases. And so it's essential that North Dakota have a system that operates safely and efficiently within our borders. And the impact to our communities is huge. There's 280 North Dakota towns and cities that have the railroads that operate either adjacent to them or directly through them. And so having those railroads operate safely again is of utmost importance to the public. Prior to this program, North Dakota had was seeing some pretty costly accidents. We had the fifth largest number of mainline accidents in the nation from 2010 to 2014, and we led the nation in the cost of damages per train accident. Since 2015, mainline accidents, and that's the year that the program was initiated, mainline accidents in North Dakota have declined 68%, and accidents greater than $100,000 have declined 72%. So I'm not sitting here saying that the program is the sole reason for that. There's a lot of reasons for that decline, one of which is the huge investment that the railroads themselves are making in safety and safety improvements and new technologies. But certainly having a couple more inspectors out there who are finding defects, more than 6,000 defects, finding them ahead of time, and working with the railroads to make sure that they're addressed also contributes to improving the safety of the system and contributes to this reduction in accidents and the cost of the accidents that we're seeing in North Dakota. So I'm really enjoying the opportunity to share these results with the legislature. I hope that they look on them favorably and approve our budget request to continue the program at its existing level for the next biennium.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Chrisman?
I'll just briefly highlight another group that was in town yesterday and today, and that's the independent telephone companies in North Dakota, now the Broadband Association in North Dakota. Just been a tremendous story, but over a longer period of time. In fact, North Dakota's broadband deployment was highlighted in another national publication just in the last couple of days again, and North Dakota pointed out as one of the premier places in the nation for broadband build-out. And so that's certainly encouraging, but there are still pockets out there for one reason or another, and it's not just that they've chosen not to do them, but there are obstacles in their way, and so they're in town pointing out some of the obstacles that they face and in finishing that and continue to improve it. And it is just amazing. I know when I started in that industry, it seemed like if we could just get DSL to everybody, and then if it could just be fiber. But almost no matter where you are in the technology world, there's always another big improvement right around the corner that needs work. So they continue to make progress, and we continue to be a part of that, working with them as partners.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Chrisman. We have seven items on consent and the previous minutes. I move that they be approved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Sensing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed say nay. Motion is approved.
All right. I have three items on the agenda today, on the regular agenda. The first, I move the commission assess. Oh, hang on 1 second. Okay, I move the commission approve the compliance tariff and refund plan in Great Plains Natural Gas Company Gas Service tariff and rates, case number PU-17-75.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Okay, this dates it goes back actually just a few days here. On January 11th, 2019, Great Plains Natural Gas filed tariffs, rates, and supporting work papers. This was in compliance with the commission's order dated on January 9th of this year. And staff has reviewed the filings to ensure that the new tariff and rates will decrease revenues by the $168,306 that was noted earlier in compliance with the settlement agreement and commission order, and that changes in the tariff language are reasonable and appropriate. Great Plains also has submitted a proposed refund plan for approval in compliance with the commission's order, again, the January 9th order of 2019. Staff has also reviewed that plan and believes it complies with the terms of the settlement agreement and the commission's order. Staff recommends approval of the refund plan with the final refund amounts to be calculated using the amount collected through the final date of the old rates and refunds to be issued by April 15th, 2019. And I also agree with this as well.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, say nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, and my next one, I move the commission issue a notice of intent to amend order and notice of opportunity for hearing in Otter Tail Power Company 2017 electric rate increase application case number PU-17-398.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion?
All right. This goes back to the commission order order on the settlement, which approved a rate increase for Otter Tail Power effective for electric service rendered on or after January 1st, 2019. So this case was wrapped up a while back. And it also, the order also required a refund of the difference between the rates approved for to be effective January 1, 2019, as compared to the interim rates that were placed into effect on January 1st, 2018. And that would be through December 31st of this past year. Otter Tail did notify the commission that it cannot implement the approved rates on January 1st, but could instead do so, we're hoping, on February 1st because of a delay in getting their new customer information system, their CIS, in place. Otter Tail has indicated that the additional 30 days of interim rates will be incorporated into the interim rate refund. So that difference between the interim rate and then the approved rate, not just for 2018, which the order stated, but also then for the month of January, assuming that the system will be up and operating on February 1st, would also be incorporated. And this issue, or the issue here, is whether the order should be amended to change or extend the effective date for the approved rates, which I certainly do agree with. However, comments and requests for a hearing, if anyone should desire that, can be made to the Public Service Commission. They would have to be received by February 26th, 2019. And persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. If deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a hearing. Our number here is 701-328-2400, and that is how anyone can reach us if they desire. And again, this is really just because of the system isn't up and running as anticipated. It appears it will be delayed a month, hopefully no longer. But as described, if it is pushed back a month, then the interim refund rate will, or the interim rate, the difference between that and the approved rate will be added to the 2018 refund. So instead of 12 months of refund, it'll wind up being 13, and all the money will go back to the customer. And from a practical standpoint, this system has to be operating in order for them to not incur a tremendous amount of administrative cost trying to deal with both the old system and then the new system. Again, everything in terms of expense, operating expense that a company incurs ultimately goes back to ratepayers. So this is, I think, prudent to do this.
Is there any further discussion?
I do have a question, and I don't know, I read this and I get the point, and I know it's going to come out in the end, but and the point of these rules being to make sure that the public has a chance to weigh in on things, but it just seems confusing, like we're chasing our tails here. So their system wasn't able to implement it as of January 1st, but it could be by February 1st. And so now to make the change so they can do it on February 1st, we're putting out an opportunity for comments until February 26th, which means they can't really start February 1st either in case there's comments. So Is that February 1st date going to have to be more like April 1st or something so that the 26th comes and goes? We're able to evaluate any comments that came, make a decision, and then tell them in advance of a fresh billing month? Or how is this going to work?
Well, they're hoping for February 1st. My understanding when I visited with staff is that someone can still go back and take issue with the fact that the deadline was pushed back a month. And it will take some time for them to get the refunds rolling. Is that correct, Jerry?
Yeah, I believe that we could end up amending the order after the implementation date, so it just kind of fixes it afterwards.
But while this is open for public comment and an opportunity for hearing, it is going to go ahead and be implemented on February 1st, as according to the previous order.
You know, we hope they'll implement it on the 1st of February, but they're still trying to get their system up and running, as far as I know.
Yeah, I you know, one thing about Otter Tail, I will say, Otter Tail has been a very good company in my experience to work with. And just from a pure business standpoint, nobody wants to incur this type of a delay. It doesn't do them any good. And, you know, obviously, if it's delayed and it's taking them longer, they are, in fact, you know, incurring some additional cost just because of that. So it's not a situation they would want to wind up having to deal with. But we also want to make sure that they get it right and that we don't have problems and that persist after the fact. So it's unfortunate, but I think their reputation has been very strong in terms of how they deal with their customer base, and that has been evident and really favorable feedback that I've always received from customers.
I think the process also, I share Randy's concerns. It seems sort of goofy what we're doing here. So I don't take issue with them. I mean, there's always delays in technology projects. It's pretty routine. And so that's not the challenge here. But I would like to just push this to admin to talk through this process a little bit after, you know, so I better understand the need for this and what it is we're trying to accomplish on this and other issues such as this moving forward. So maybe we can just talk through it a bit on admin, in our admin portion of the meeting. I mean, it doesn't seem very productive to have comments for hearing time period that extends 26 days after the implementation scheduled by the company. So that's, I'm sure we didn't have any choice, but I think we just need to question what the point of running the notice is then. So
are you asking to hold it over?
No, I'm on a vote on it, but I want to discuss about the process during admin.
Okay. Any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed say nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, and my final item. I move the commission assess a filing fee of $10,000. Suspend the tariff filing and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Otter Tail Power Company 2019 Renewable Resource Cost Recovery Adjustment Factor Rates Case Number PU-19-17.
Second.
The Otter Tail Power on December 31st, 2018 filed an application to increase its 2019 Renewable Resource Adjustment. Excuse me. Which is a part of the energy and renewable adjustment line on the customer electric bills. The renewable resource adjustment recovers costs associated with renewable generation resources. The impact for a typical residential customer consuming 1,000 kilowatts per month would be an increase of approximately 94 cents a month. And the issues to be considered in this proceeding are whether the investments and associated costs for the resources qualify for recovery, whether the incurred costs are reasonable and prudent, and whether the rate adjustments are consistent with the terms of Otter Tail's tariff. Those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by March 1st 2019, and if deemed appropriate, that I've got a frog in my throat this morning.
Peter Brady.
Yeah, it's yeah, I'd turn the hands of time back. I'd certainly do that, but I can't. Okay, back on track here. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by March 1st, 2019. If deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a hearing. And be really honest, I haven't dug terribly deep into this yet, so I will do so as we move forward. This came in again on December 31st, so just a little over 3 weeks ago. And those also, I should mention, anyone requesting more information can contact the Public Service Commission again at 701-328-2400.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, and that concludes my agenda items. Commissioner Fedorchuk.
Thank you, Brian. I have one item on my portfolio, believing that there will be no prejudice to the rights of the parties or the public interest, and finding the cases involve similar questions of law or fact. I move the commission consolidate for hearing under North Dakota Admin Code Section 6902.04.04, Burke Wind LLC, Burke Wind Transmission Line, Burke and Montreal Siting Application, case number PU-18-302, and Burke Wind LLC, Burke County Wind Energy Center, Burke County Siting Application, case number PU-18-344. I further move the commission deem the applications complete, conditioned on receipt at least 30 days prior to the hearing of three things: maps showing final site plan with turbines, access roads, collector lines, transmission line structures, and all residential receptor points labeled, Class 2 and 3 cultural resource survey reports or summaries showing areas surveyed and SHPO cultural site numbers recommended for avoidance, and wetland delineation reports. I further move the commission issue a notice of filing and notice of consolidated hearings in Burke Wind LLC, Burke Wind Transmission Line, and Burke and Montreal County Siting Application, case number PU-18-302, and Burke Wind LLC, Burke County Wind Energy Center, siting application, case number PU-18-34.
Second.
So a consolidated public hearing on these applications is scheduled for March 8th at 9 a.m. in Bowbells. Going to venture up to the Bowbells, which is always fun to get out into those parts of the state where we don't get very often. So on August 9th, the company filed an application for a corridor certificate route permit for the 37-mile transmission line extending from the proposed Burke Wind Energy Center in Burke County to Basin Electric's Tandy substation in Montreal County. And then on September 14th, they applied for the site certificate for the wind facility as well. And so we will gather in the Bowbells on March 8th to have a discussion with the company and the public about and any interested agencies about this project. This is a 300-megawatt project. They anticipate having up to 114 turbines to generate that power, and it is 10 miles south of the Bowbells. And I just note that this is one of five renewable energy projects that the company is in the process of siting and permitting right now. We have the Aurora Wind facility, which is out in western North Dakota, west of this. I think it's in Burke County, and that's 300 megawatts. We have this. It's not Burke County. Which county is Aurora in? What one? Williams County.
Divide
and Williams. And then Burke, this one, which is 300 megawatts. We've got the Emmons Logan, which we've already had the hearing on that one, 300 megawatts. And then we just received an application from Russo Wind, which is in McHenry County. That's 204 megawatts. And then we have the Harmony Solar Project, which is 200 megawatts proposed. So that's a proposed 1,300 megawatts of renewable energy projects that are currently before the commission for a siting permit. And so the pace continues to be brisk when it comes to companies interested in renewable energy projects and developing those projects in North Dakota.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
We have a couple things. I'm just not so familiar with Burke County, and I love going to small towns as much as anybody. But in visiting with a friend from up there that encouraged maybe Powers Lake or League Night, saying that there's not any restaurant in Bobell's for people to go to at some point, and these become all-day hearings. So we've thoroughly researched this and chosen Bobell's.
Yeah, there was quite a big discussion about the location of this facility and how best to get there and where to hold it. So it's only 10 miles south of Bobell's.
The other thing, and I'm probably in the next couple of siting applications going to bring it up until I feel better about where we get on hearing days. We say these things are complete and then add, well, pending them filing something. So to me, another way of stating that is that for now they're incomplete, but we're hoping that they're going to make them complete. And this says pending the receipt 30 days prior to the hearing, a final site plan, and then lays out some details for that. And so my expectation is that we're not going to get there that day and then have the company coming in with a whole new set of maps and new information on everything that's all different than everything that we've reviewed for the last however many months. And so it's not really a question for the portfolio holder. I'm laying this out for the company, what my expectation is when we call these things complete, that they not actually be finalized the night before the meeting.
I share your concern and think it's important also for the public that they have a chance to see where the company is proposing these turbines. Obviously, there's micro-siting, and they do move, and things change up until the date of construction. But what they propose to us 30 days prior to the hearing needs to be available to the public to see as well. And that's really why we, for our own staff review, but also so that the public can take a look at what they're proposing and come prepared to discuss their concerns.
Absolutely.
Any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed say nay. The motion is approved.
Concludes my portfolio.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Christman. I move the commission adopt the order granting request to discontinue business in Scranton Equity Exchange, license number 1298, Dickinson, North Dakota, discontinue business case number GE-19-24.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion?
We received a request to discontinue business from Scranton Equity Exchange for its licensed grain warehouse at Dickinson. The facility is going to be licensed by Deer Creek Animal Sciences, LLC, which is doing business as Woody's Feed and Grain, which if you listen to any ag-related radio stations, you've probably heard of for many years. There are no outstanding storage obligations, unpaid scale tickets, or open contracts. The grain inventory in the warehouse will be assumed by Deer Creek Animal Sciences. Scranton Equity Exchange, by the way, continues to operate its facility at Scranton with a capacity of almost 2.1 million bushels. Staff recommends that this request be approved effective January 11th. They did receive interim approval of this so they could make their business transaction.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed say nay. Motion is approved.
RC2, I move the commission adopt the order granting request to discontinue business in Hertzfield Grain Incorporated, license number 848, Hertzfield, North Dakota, discontinue business case number GE-19-25.
Second.
On January 9th, we received a request to discontinue business from Hertzfield Grain. They notified the commission the business is no longer conducted at this facility and the facility is being closed. This warehouse is empty and there are no outstanding storage obligations, unpaid scale tickets, or open contracts. And staff also recommends the request be approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed say nay. The motion is approved.
And third, I move the commission adopt the order granting request to discontinue business in CHS Incorporated, facility-based grain buyer, Adams, North Dakota, discontinue business case number GE-19-26.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion?
We received a request from CHS to discontinue licensing at their facility in Adams. CHS notified staff that this facility has been closed. The facility is empty and there are no unpaid scale tickets or open contracts. CHS continues to operate 53 licensed facilities in North Dakota. Staff recommends the request be approved. And Adams, I believe, is one of the towns we've probably not really dealt with in an open commission meeting since I've been here. So I'd point out for people who are unfamiliar, Adams is west of Grafton and Park River on that line there. And, of course, as Dave knows, that Adams is the hometown of Neil Levang, who was an important part of the Lawrence Welk Show from 1959 to 1982 as a guitarist and a mandolin player and all kinds of string instruments. But he also played with Glenn Campbell, Elvis Presley, Dean Martin, Neil Diamond, and the Judds. So he had quite a variety and really only passed away just a few years ago.
I did not know that.
Elvis. Yeah. Impressive. I mean, Lawrence Welk is too.
But. Well, that's the key.
Exactly. But, you know.
Elvis. On his way to the top, he played with some of these others.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed say nay. Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio.
All right. Thank you. I always learn something new when I show up at a commission meeting. Two announcements. Our next regularly scheduled meeting is Wednesday, February 6th at 10 o'clock here in the commission room, 12th floor of the Capitol. And then the second, because you may have noticed for those watching and listening and in the room today, you know, a slight hesitation in terms of how we flow up here. Steve Call, and I think it was mentioned last time, but I'm going to mention again, is our interim executive secretary. That position opened up, and Steve has been filling in on an interim basis as we decide how to move forward and has been doing a fantastic job. So we're just getting used to a slightly different flow, but it just has really done, again, an excellent job with the duties before him. So really appreciate that. Thank you, Steve. And with that, I don't have anything else, so we will now take a brief recess to take questions from the press, then a short break followed by the administrative portion of the meeting. This meeting is now in recess.